we meet in the Lord's presence, and in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be always with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Some words from today's psalm. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is loving to everyone, and his compassion is over all his works. The Lord upholds all those who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open wide your hand and satisfy the needs of every living creature. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving in all his works. Let us pray. Bountiful and compassionate God, you place in the hands of your disciples the food of life. Nourish us that we may bear Christ to others and share with them the gifts we have so richly received from him. We make this our prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray. Almighty Lord and everlasting God, we beseech you to direct, sanctify and govern both our hearts and bodies in the way of your laws and the works of your commandments, that through your most mighty protection, both here and ever, we may be preserved in body and soul, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. Come for water, all who are thirsty. Though you have no money, come. Buy grain and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, not for money, not for a price. Why spend your money for what is not food, your earnings on what fails to satisfy? Listen to me, and you will fare well. You will enjoy the fat of the land. Come to me and listen to my words. Hear me, and you will have life. I shall make an everlasting covenant with you, to love you faithfully as I loved David. I appointed him a witness to peoples, a prince ruling over them. And you in turn will summon nations you do not know. And nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because the Lord your God, Israel's Holy One, has made you glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away, so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I pray that I may speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This past week has involved a few important family anniversaries. On Monday, my grandparents marked 57 years of marriage, and Wednesday marked not only my parents' 35th wedding anniversary, but 30 years since I was baptised, a day filled with consequence, even if I can't remember it firsthand. They are moments for reflecting on how much has changed, how quickly the years have passed, and for offering thanks for the blessings that have been received along the way. The same is true for us all. Whatever the memory, anniversary, event, or significant occasion, we are shaped and formed by those moments in life that make us who we are and the relationships that surround them. In all these things, of course, we believe God to be present, hallowing, honouring, and cherishing the important events of human life by assuring us of his love and care. By remembering these things, we are renewed both in our relationships with each other and ultimately with the God who invites us in Christ to share life in his company. In our Gospel this week, in a slightly different way, we are reminded of an important event in the ministry of Jesus, the so-called feeding of the 5,000. I say important because if you look through the Gospels, you'll find that today's miracle is the only one that is repeated by all 4 evangelists, albeit in slightly different and nuanced ways. Nevertheless, if you were to place the stories side by side, you would discover a remarkable similarity. A reminder that for the early Christians and for the emerging church, that this particular miracle, spoken of and shared by Jesus' first followers, had particular significance. It was recognised as revealing something that was worth knowing and remembering about who Jesus was and what he had come to do. That wouldn't just be important to the first believers, but would shape the understanding and faith of all those who would follow after. This is underlined further when we see Matthew's account of the miraculous feeding in the context of what has immediately preceded it in the gospel narrative. Whereas for the last few weeks we've reflected together on Jesus' teaching through the use of parables, we are now immersed once more in Jesus' ministry and engagement with those around him. At the end of chapter 13, we've been told of the ambivalent rejection Jesus endured when visiting his hometown in Nazareth, despite knowledge of his wisdom and deeds of power. And then immediately before the 5,000 are fed, the story moves again in detailing the death of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, at the request of Galilee's puppet king, Herod Antipas. As such, it seems intentional, not least because the same is true in Mark and Luke's gospel, that the feeding of the crowd offers a glaring contrast to what has gone before. While the people of Nazareth and Herod reject Jesus, the crowds are magnetically attracted to him. And whereas Herod's feast exposes his selfishness, corruption and wickedness, resulting in the beheading of John, the feast that Jesus prepares on the grass for the assembled masses exposes the compassion and concern which speaks of God's presence and faithfulness. The promise articulated, as we heard spoken by the prophet Isaiah, that the promise of rest, nourishment, and sustenance can only be found not by trusting in ourselves, but in being open to the gracious invitation of the Lord, who invites us to find lasting fulfilment in him. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Here, as in Jesus' actions, a reminder that our fears and limitations about our own resources or abilities are no barrier to the love of God that replenishes our strength and offers lasting food for the human journey. Such anxieties are understandable and are revealed in the attitude of the disciples to the crowds, who, having followed Jesus from the towns into the desert, seem reluctant to go home. They are aware that it is late in the day, and so they try to fix the problem by persuading Jesus to send the masses away, attempting to avoid what might happen if the thousands start to demand something to eat. On the face of it, it's a natural reaction. We don't have enough food. There's too many of them. Quickly, let's get rid of this crowd, as it's really no concern of ours. With this in mind, it's tempting to read Jesus' response, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat," as a bit of a hollow joke. The disciples want to devolve themselves of all responsibility, aware that the 5 loaves and 2 fish they have can't possibly be enough, whilst Jesus says that what they perceive as a nuisance is really an opportunity to test the obedience and confidence of their faith, to trust that God is at work, and to appreciate that with his help they shall have all that they ever need. As we read, this can only be done when the realisation comes that they first have to bring what they have, despite its meagreness and scarcity, to Jesus. "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish, they sceptically reply, knowing on the face of it, it can never be enough. Yet by bringing it to Jesus, despite their concerns that what they have is too limited, too insignificant, their initial mundane scepticism is transformed as the small amount of food they have to share is taken, blessed, broken and distributed to the waiting crowds, so that in the end, all ate and were filled. By listening to Jesus' word, by trusting that Jesus could take, use and bless what they had, the miracle happens. And much more than that, the miracle happens in the hands of the previously doubting disciples, as they do what Jesus has told them to do, as they share the grace they have received and pass it on so that all have enough to satisfy their hunger. The story doesn't focus on the how the miracle happened, but rather emphasises the who, Jesus asking his friends to cooperate with him in feeding the crowd, showing what can happen when we offer what we have to God so that he can use it, share it, and multiply it so that others are fed. Here then, the pattern of the Christian life, of what it means to follow Christ daily, of what it means to be members of his church, is demonstrated not simply in a scene of God's overabundant generosity, but rather in the invitation to remember that before we do anything, we first have to bring what we have to Jesus. We might not be convinced it's enough, but as the story tells us, that really doesn't matter. For in spite of our doubting and disbelieving, Christ tells us God will be at work, not just around us, but within us and through us, sending us, equipping us, encouraging us, so that those whom we encounter might come to know his presence for themselves. In drawing near to Jesus, we see the God who invites us to come near to him, carrying our gifts and resources, our troubles and worries, so that in the end all may find nourishment and strength. God doesn't need us, but he wants us to bring what we have in knowledge that with the Lord, it is all that will be required. Thus, at the heart of such an important story, so formational for the early Christians, and indeed for the living out of faith today, we find not the demanding crowd, nor the sceptical disciples, but rather Jesus himself, the one who meets our needs rather than focusing on his own, the compassionate teacher who brings insight and healing, the host who beckons us to sit down and eat, to receive and then to give, to help and to hope, so that all might be invited to eat and be satisfied. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray to the Lord, the generous giver of all our needs, for the church and for the world, for our loved ones and for ourselves. O Lord, we pray that you may give your church grace to feed all who are hungry for the word of salvation. Through your provision, through your resourcefulness, keep your people faithful in obedience and untiring in works of mercy. That in sharing our faith and caring for those in need, we might reveal your presence and help to discover more of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, we pray for the multitudes who wander in the wilderness places of the world, unsatisfied but not knowing what they are seeking. We pray for the despondent and the distressed, for those who are struggling or isolated, for those who are afraid, for all who seek relief and safety and help and support. Assure them of your presence, of your strength, and grant us compassion to be ministers of your healing and your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we do pray for help and strength to be more hospitable in our homes and in our lives, ready to meet the needs of others. Bless all those who seek to help and support those in any kind of need. We pray for all those who are hungry and thirsty, who lack shelter, for victims of famine, for all who rely on food banks, and for all those who will go hungry this day. Give power to all agencies and charities that work for the relief of need and of want. And give us responsibility. Give us vision to seek your kingdom and so to serve your people, that Christ may be seen in the lives of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we do commend to you all those whom you have placed on our hearts and minds this morning. Those who lack hope, those who seek after faith. For the sick and the troubled in body, mind or spirit, those known to us and those known to you alone. In a moment of silence, we commend them to you, praying for your healing, for your help, for your comfort, for your relief. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, as your Son, Jesus Christ, fed the crowds in the wilderness and assured them of your provision and your unfailing love, we thank you that you feed us through our earthly lives and give us the hope of life eternal. We remember all those who have gone before us in faith, who rejoice now in your nearer presence. Keep us always in the knowledge of your eternal victory, and so help us to labour for all those things that seek after the eternal life which you have promised us, that we, with all the faithful departed, may come to the joy and light and glory of your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so we pray for ourselves, that we might know Christ's presence with us now, that he may feed us and sustain us, that he might satisfy and fulfil our needs, that he may take all that we have to offer and use it for the coming of his kingdom and for the honouring of his name, today and in the week to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so we offer these prayers, spoken and unspoken, along with all the thoughts and petitions of our hearts, in the words that Jesus himself taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Unto the Lord's mercy and protection, we commit you. The peace of God, that peace which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and in the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with you, with those whom you love, with those whom you pray for, this day and always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.